I'd like to tell the boys and girls a story that took place in Western Canada, British Columbia, in fact, near a town called Bella Coola. If you've never been there, you've missed paradise. It's one of the most beautiful spots on all the earth, and it's very inaccessible. The best way to go is by air or by boat. But years and years ago, a man went in there whose family were Adventists. He was not. By horseback, went over the mountains into a place called Lost Lake. You ever heard about that? Lost Lake. It was written up in Reader's Digest years ago, and a book was written also about it. I met his son about 3 or 4 years ago, who still lives in Bella Coola. The daughter of that family is married and still lives at Lost Lake. This man went to wilderness area, carried everything in by horseback, and built a house and garden and farm and everything, even built an airplane while he lived there, way back there in the wilds. The story I want to tell the boys and girls about concerned the daughter. When she was a teenager, the Queen was coming to Canada, and they longed to give her some very special gift. And they had heard about this girl. She seemed to have made friends with trumpeter swans. At that time, they're almost extinct. I understand, according to the bird books I have, they're now on the increase once more, breeding in Yellowstone Park and other places like that. But she became so friendly with these wild swans that she could feed them out of her hands, corn and things like that. Just hundreds of them, I understand, would flock around her, and she could just sit and feed them out of her hand. The letter came from the government that they wished that she would capture a pair of them to give to the Queen when the Queen came to visit Canada. Well, this greatly upset the girl. She didn't know what to do. These were her friends. She fed them all the time, and she wondered what would happen if she ever captured one of them. Well, to make a long story short, she captured two of them. But the sad result of that is she could never feed them again for years. The rest were so frightened of her, they would never come to her for just many, many years. She was supposed to be their friend. But she turned out to be an enemy who captured them. Swans don't like to be in pens and cages in civilization. They like the wild. The reason I tell you this story, boys and girls, is that there's someone who appears like our friend today, seems to do nice things to us, but he only waits to capture us. His name is Satan. He makes everything appear so wonderful, so enticing and so perfect and so entertaining. But after a while, he gets his hands on you and never let go. Be careful of those who sometimes appear like friends, but really are not friends. And I hope you don't think this girl was like the devil. She really wasn't. She's trying to do someone a great favor. But we're told in the Bible that the enemy goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We're studying prophecies today, the role of USA in last day events. It's a sequel to the last two or three we've had. And we studied last Sabbath about the rise of the atheistical power, the satanic power, described in Revelation 17, where the woman rides on the beast, also in Isaiah 14 and Daniel 11. We put all the pieces together. And the king of the north, described in Daniel 11:37, said he would not regard any god, this atheistical power. How does such an atheistical power come into prominence? How can this be? How can the world develop to where he can get ascendancy like this? I'd like you to begin in Revelation 16, verses 13 and 14. And I'd like to tell you how I think it'll come to pass, according to the Bible. Here it predicts some satanic agencies and what they will do to bring about a rise of the devil. 13 and 14, Revelation 16. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, and they go forth the kings of the earth. One of these devils working miracles is called the false prophet. Do you know who that is? Revelation 19, verse 20, describes him in these words, 19:20. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and that worshipped his image. So the one who worked miracles before him and deceived them so they would receive the mark of the beast and worship the beast, this is the one whom the Bible terms the false prophet. That power is described in Revelation 13, as many of you know, verses 11 to 14. The power that works those miracles and causes people to receive the mark of the beast and to worship the beast. And I beheld another beast, Revelation 13:11, coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, spake as a dragon. Exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. And he does great wonders in verse 13, deceives them in verse 14. And so this is the power called the false prophet, the lamb-like beast. For many, many decades now, many theologians of many churches have defined the lamb-like beast as United States in prophecy. And all of our evangelists have preached that way, to my knowledge. So this is a satanic power called a false prophet, called the spirit of the devil working miracles in other parts of Revelation. So a satanic power begins to work here in Revelation chapter 13, according to the rest of those verses. This beast, and a beast we understand as a kingdom or a nation, is a contradiction. He's so innocent like a lamb, but how does he speak? Like the devil himself, or the dragon's the devil, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And it says he will cause them to worship, Revelation 13, 12, to worship the beast. And it said worse than that, he'll kill those, cause them to be killed, who will not worship the beast in his image, in the verse 15. So here's a combination of church and government where they legislate religion by government laws. And this is one of the problems that we have to watch very carefully. Europe suffered under this combination for many, many years, and many came to the United States as a refuge from that type of persecution where government laws became religious laws. And they came here for that reason. And now there's a prediction that the land of the free becomes the persecutor, not the land of refuge any longer. And it's described here for us. What are the people forced to worship? The beast, it says. Now don't forget in the Bible, a woman's a church, not a beast. So they're not forced to worship a church. We've always described this as the Vatican, but the Vatican is more than a church, isn't it? The Vatican is a kingdom. And I have several articles about it. This book by a very fine Catholic writer, Malachi Martin, that kind of followed the Roman Church, describes at great length how many, many centuries ago the Vatican became a kingdom under Sylvester I. And for 1,600 years, he said, it has been a kingdom. In fact, he said, it's the fact it became a kingdom that has destroyed the Roman Church. That's his whole premise in every chapter of the book. And he said the Pope became a secular ruler, and all the bishops of Rome and around him also became secular rulers, ruling over areas, cities and counties and provinces and states and countries, until finally we had what we called the Papal Roman Empire, where the Pope was a king and not just the head of a church. And he says if it had not become a kingdom, it could have done God's work. But since it's become a kingdom, it's in its decline, and he even says fall, he says we're having the last pope right now. That's his prediction for the future. So they're forced to worship a kingdom, not just a church, although it's intimately related to a church, as you well know. So this beast, which is the United States, forces others to worship this kingdom in the first half there of Revelation 13. This Vatican power, as we've described it many, many times in the past. And so it's a civil power that we're forced to worship, not just a church. The church is involved with them very, very much. Now, Adventists have always taught this about the Vatican, that it received a deadly wound according to this, Revelation 13, and there in verse 3, and that the wound was healed in 1929. It lost its kingly power, 1798, when a Catholic general under a Catholic ruler, Napoleon, took a Catholic army and conquered a Catholic pope. Ever think of it that way? That's what it was. It's Catholics against Catholics. The pope was taken prisoner, and for quite a long time, the pope was in prison. He'd lost his ruling power, his ruling secular power, but not his religious power. Napoleon was fighting with another king when he conquered the pope. And we believe that in 1929, that the deadly wound was healed. And all of you heard the quotation, I suppose, from the San Francisco Chronicle, Tuesday, February 12, 1929, where the headlines read, Mussolini and Gasparri sign historic Roman pact, heal wound of many years. This man even quotes in his book, a Jesuit writer, and says that's what happened. And so we don't have to argue anymore about it. It's acknowledged by all kinds of theologians on the subject. And so the wound was healed, and now it's a secular nation. So when you go into the Vatican City across an international boundary, and there's all kinds of ways establishing that it's a separate country, and that's why ambassadors are sent by other nations to the Vatican. You send ambassadors to other nations, so we send ambassadors to the Vatican, because it's far more than a church, it's a kingdom. And so the wound was healed, and now unusual things are going to happen after the wound is healed. How can the United States, who is in such great disrepute in the world today, obtain the cooperation of the nations of the world to cause them to worship the beast whose wound has been healed? It used to be we're a very popular country. Today there's a terrible stigma on U.S. citizens. You know that? On our whole nation. If you travel in foreign countries today, they turn up their nose at Americans. I was overseas when Americans were popular, and I went overseas later on when we're unpopular. And they blame us for everything that we say in the U.N., by the way. So if you don't know what they say in the U.N., that's who you are in the minds of foreigners. But for many reasons, they blame us. And if you've never read about how by our dollar we've been trying to buy the world and control the world, perhaps you don't understand what they think about us. But living in those other nations, they have a whole different view of us than we see ourselves. American industries literally control the industries of the world today. And they have, at least since World War II. And that's why de Gaulle was so anti-American, is because every major industry in France was owned by Americans. And they really didn't have a free industry in that country. You may disagree with them. I'm not trying to argue for anybody. I'm just trying to tell you what they think. And this is true. And so Americans are aggressors with a dollar. We are. Very much imperialistic with a dollar. And I have a whole book written about this subject, how we are imperialistically going out to conquer other nations with American dollars. Did you know that you cannot buy world oil with any other money except American dollars? There's not enough currency in any country in the world except U.S. to have enough money to buy oil. You have to have American dollars to buy oil or gold, because we're the only country in the world that has enough money to buy oil. And so all the nations of the world deal in American dollars, I think, except Iran. They don't want our dollars anymore, at least for some time. And that's a very unusual thing. We have that much money that all the nations have to use our money to buy their oil. It's a most unusual thing that's happening. And you may not like some of the stigma on us, but we deserve some of it, you know? I don't know if they deserve all of it or not, but some of it's really true about us. And you like American dollars too, I think, if you're a good Seventh-day Adventist. And I mean that kindly. So how do we obtain cooperation of the nations of the earth with such a stigma upon us? Right now, they don't want to follow us at all. You know, we're the very peculiar ones, even siding with Israel too much, you know, and others are, every other nation on earth is against her, you know, we're siding with her once in a while in the UN. How can we gain the respect of other nations so they'll do what we say, because Revelation 13 says we'll say to do this? How can we gain that kind of respect? Well, obviously there's going to be a great reversal, a very abrupt change of some kind from this stigma against us, this disrepute, and to where we're respected and honored and where they gladly follow us. Read Revelation 13 with me now, verses 13 and 14, this same power. And notice that the deadly wound has been healed, the last part of verse 12. He doeth great wonders, so he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they shall make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So not until after the wound has been healed do these miracles take place. Not until after 1929 do these take place. That's not so many years ago for some of us, by the way. And so it's these great wonders and miracles that enable U.S. to deceive the nations of the world so that they will follow our example and our commands in worshiping the beast and also forming an image. Now, what kind of miracles will these be, or what kind of evidences or signs? Are they ingenious scientific discoveries? Some new weapons like atomic bombs or antimatter bombs or some new laser thing? What are they? Many have thought that's the way they would be. The spirit of prophecy and the Bible seem to tell you something else. First of all, we're described as the false prophet who worked miracles before the beast and before men. The false prophet worked miracles. And the false prophet is called the spirit of devils working miracles. So there's something satanic about these miracles. It's not just human ingenuity or inventions that are involved. And the spirit of prophecy has much to say about this, and forgive me for reading, but I want to give you some insights. Volume 2 of Selected Messages, page 51, 2SM 51. It is the lying wonders of the devil that will take the world captive and will cause fire to come down from heaven the sight of men. The lying wonders of the devil will cause that. He is to work miracles, and this wonderful miracle-working power is to sweep in the whole world. It is now just beginning. That was written in 1890. Another one like it is Volume 2 of the Selected Messages, page 54. It is stated in the Word that the enemy will work through his agents who have departed from the faith, and they will seemingly work miracles, even to the bringing down of fire out of heaven in the sight of men. By means of lying wonders, Satan would deceive, if possible, the very elect, quoting there from Matthew 24. Another one gives you a little more reason why he's doing this great controversy, 6:24. Fearful sights of a supernatural character will soon be revealed in the heavens in token of the power of miracle-working demons. The spirits of devils will go forth to the kings of the earth and to the whole world to fasten them in deception and urge them to unite with Satan in his last struggle against the government of heaven. Urge them to unite with him in his last struggle against the government of heaven. By these agencies, rulers and subjects will alike be deceived. So he's fighting with God, as we read in several scriptures the last two Sabbaths. And lastly, in Great Controversy 5:53, first he quotes Revelation 13:13 about this fire, miracle, working power, fire from heaven. And then she says, no mere impostures are here foretold. No mere impostures are here foretold. Men are deceived by the miracles which Satan's agents have power to do, not which they pretend to do. So these are not impostures or phony or hallucinations. These are the genuine article. They will literally bring down fire from heaven, is what the spirit of prophecy states. Now, this is quite a contradiction that Protestant America, pro-Christ, anti-Satan, will become foremost in spiritualism, in promulgating the devil's deceptions. That the land we love so dearly, that is so very special to all of us, this land, above all, who's boasted of as Christianity, is the one where the devil will work most prominently and instigate these deceptions in the whole earth. A quotation like that is Great Controversy 588, just one sentence. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. The Protestants will be foremost to grasp the hand of spiritualism. Perhaps you don't realize it, but it's already happening. It really is. It's been going on a long, long time. When we lived in Loma Linda, there came out a whole page in the middle of the paper about white witchcraft, which is supposed to be a little bit more honorable and respected than black witchcraft. And it listed San Bernardino, California, where there are many Adventists living, as the capital of white witchcraft on the West Coast. I recall a man in our church where I pastored one time who lived in Cuba before Cuba was under Castro. He was there in the Navy, and he dated a voodoo priestess. He'd been an Adventist. Had been, I said. Went to many of the rituals, knew a lot about them, and he planned to expose them in an MV meeting, and as I've told you, he perspired heavily and was very nervous and said nothing about it. Was so frightened he wouldn't even go home for weeks and months, stayed at the hospital all the time. He was a medical worker. Because he received phone calls constantly. They knew what he planned to do, even though he didn't tell anyone he planned to do it. They still knew. He was going to expose public officials who were involved in voodoo worship. And there are many voodoo worshipers in North America. Thousands of them. All kinds of spiritualists. And all kinds of activity. And they're just in the most prominent places. There's quite a bit of evidence that those who were involved with the flying saucers were spiritualists. Quite strong evidence in favor of that. In the United States, it has not been suppressed. It's been very prominent. In early writings, it says that someday, very soon, that this will be so popular and so acceptable that it'll be blasphemy to speak against it. Early writings, page 59. I saw that soon it would be considered blasphemy to speak against the rapping. Back then, in the days, you know, when they had spiritualism first starting up there in New York State. And that it would spread more and more, and that Satan's power would increase, and some of his devoted followers would have power to work miracles even to bring down fire from heaven the sight of men. She associates the fire from heaven with the wrappings. Way back there, it's all the same thing. I was shown that by the wrapping and mesmerism, these modern magicians would yet account for all the miracles wrought by our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they'll duplicate all the miracles that Christ worked. And that many would believe that the mighty works of the Son of God when on earth were accomplished by the same power. But the devil actually did the miracles that Christ wrought. I think they're worshiping Christ by seeing all these miracles and worshiping him. So he's going to duplicate them all, is what she says. But it's going to be blasphemy to criticize this or to oppose it in any way whatsoever. Now, the one miracle that looms above all the others is this fire from heaven in Revelation 13, verse 13. There's been a lot of speculation about it. I don't wish to engage in that at all. But fire from heaven in ancient times meant divine approbation, divine acceptance. When Solomon offered the sacrifice there on the altar sacrifice of the dedication of his temple, and fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, it meant that God was saying, I approve, I accept, I'm in this. And did you know they took the fire from off the altar that came from heaven, called holy fire, and they kept the lamps burning and the seven-branch candlestick all the time with that fire from heaven. And they always burned the incense with holy fire. And any other kind of fire was called strange fire, wasn't it? So they always used fire from heaven for the incense and for the seven-branch candlestick to burn. So all the light of the sanctuary was holy fire and all that that symbolizes in your minds as you think about it. When Elijah was there on Mount Carmel and with the contest of the Baal worshippers, and he finally put on the sacrifice and all that water on the altar on top of the sacrifice and prayed and the fire came down from heaven, it meant that he worshiped the true God, that he was on the true God's team, that God approved of what he was doing, that God accepted his sacrifice, and that this was identified with God. And so fire from heaven means that the United States is approved of God. Only this fire from heaven will be worked out by the devil. So it doesn't mean that at all. It means approved of the devil. It'll be the very same sign as came down in ancient times showing divine approval, and Satan will be allowed to duplicate that kind of evidence. And the result is, because of this, United States prominence will greatly increase. How can you fight with God? And now we're identified with God by this divine approval fire from heaven. And all the nations bow down and do what we say. They worship the beast and finally form the image of the beast. And the Bible says they worship the dragon, Revelation 13, 4, who's the devil, because this is a satanic power that has produced all this evidence and is behind all of it. So this is accomplished by Satan working through the lamb-like beast, United States in prophecy. I suppose to some people it's far-fetched. But I think if you go looking around at the wild increase in Satanism and worship of Satan or spiritualism, you'd be dumbfounded. We're kind of a protected people, very much so. And we're quite blind when it comes to spiritualism. But if you notice just the increase in TV and radio and magazines and fiction nowadays and these satanic things, you know, they never used to have at all. But now they're just very prominent every place. The devil is using every type of media to promulgate this kind of emphasis. And the world is being taken in by it. The increase in horoscopes and astrology, just a tremendous increase. You can go on and on into hundreds of areas, literally, where the devil is just occupying minds by the tens of thousands, even the millions today, by the media, bringing in a common acceptance because it's so prevalent. He's making himself literally omnipresent through the media. And people think about this hundreds of times a day. It's a common, everyday thing. Now, why does Satan do this? Volume 7 of the Commentaries, 975. The time is at hand when Satan will work miracles to confirm minds in the belief that he is God. The time is at hand when Satan will work miracles to confirm minds in the belief that he is God. You know how we study that he wants to be God? Sit in the mouth of the congregation, Isaiah 14, 13. I'll be like the Most High, Isaiah 14, 14. He'll sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. Upon his tabernacle, his palace, and the glorious holy mountain, he'll magnify himself above all others. In Daniel chapter 11, we've been studying for 2 weeks. He aspires to be God. The Bible says so very plainly, very clearly. And he's going to be God, so far as millions of people are concerned. And the agency he wishes to use is our blessed country. And we drift along as though it would never happen. And we say, I can't see any reason why I can't do this and can't do that and hundreds of other things. There's no reason why you can't. Except that things are going to change very drastically. They'll not always continue this way. And if anything, the devil wants us to dream along in a lethargy, you know, a Laodicean condition, so no one's concerned about it. That serves him very, very well. And you say, my, you sound like an alarmist. I'm sorry, you try to preach on it and not sound like an alarmist. Even try to discuss it and not sound like an alarmist, you know. That's just the nature of it, isn't it? It's alarming. It is. The Lord wants us alarmed so we won't sleep. Watch and be ready. And a lot of people, you have to kind of kick in the feet, you know, to wake them up or shake their heads. It's hard to do nowadays. We like to sleep. It's pleasant. How is all this accomplished? Just one more aspect of it. It says he spake as a dragon. Revelation 13:11. Spake as a dragon. What is the speaking power of a beast or a nation or a kingdom? Great Controversy 4:42. The speaking of the nation is the action of its legislative and judicial authorities. In our country, we call it Congress and the Supreme Court. Their actions are the speaking of a nation. So our Congress and our Supreme Court will speak like the devil. That's what the prophecy says. So in this wonderful city where we live, and we're part of it really, this is the place where it'll all start. This is the place where it'll all start. The devil's launching pad. Washington, D.C. That's what it says, doesn't it? You can say all you want about defending this marvelous place to live and how wonderful it is to live in the capital city and all the intellectual and cultural facilities that are available. But the devil said, this is the spot where I'm going to be a success. So successful that all the world is going to be deceived and taken in. This is the spot. It's not very pleasant, is it? Are we the most alert of all the people on the earth who live in this place, who have prophecies that talk about our hometown? Or isn't the Bible true? Or is this old-fashioned interpretation? Have Adventists been deceived for 130-some years? And other Protestants for a longer time? What is your rationale about this? What enables you to shrug it off so you don't have to think about it anymore today? What is it? Or you just get busy so you don't have time. This place, this government, our legislature, our Congress, our Supreme Court, are the ones whom the Bible says will speak like the dragon. Won't be Rome. Won't be the heathen. Ours. The land of the free and the home of the brave, right where we live. This is where we'll start. This will enable the devil to someday put his palace in the glorious holy mountain, where he will reign saying he's God. This is the place. These actions could not take place until after the deadly wound was healed. The Bible's very clear since 1929. It's been a long time since then, over 50 years now. How long? I don't know. The next major event, according to Revelation 13, is fire from heaven. These wonders, the Bible calls them, these miracles, is the next major event before the worship of the beast and before the image is formed. This is the sequence given to us. There can be no worship of the beast prevalently, prominently around the world, or no image formed until the miracles are wrought, fire from heaven, which will enable us to deceive the other nations and to cause them to worship. So the most prominent evidence today is these miracle-working powers. Spiritualism's rise to prominence. That's the most prominent sign at this present moment. Do you really watch about this? Do you really study and read about the rise of this? Does it concern you? Have you talked to any witches lately, or warlocks, as they call the males? Have you talked to any? I was at a little church in Canada where they didn't believe in this, I'm quite sure. Until one of their friends came to visit there for a few days and on Sabbath afternoon began to have these terrible problems, and they took him to the hospital. And two RCMP officers and three or four Adventists couldn't hold him down. He weighed about 135 pounds, just a skinny kid, about 18 years of age. Been a warlock since he was 9 years of age in Toronto, Canada. They stayed there all Saturday night trying to hold him down. They shot him full of all the drugs they could find. They still couldn't hold him down. And suddenly everybody believed in devils again. No sermons, just demonstrations. I could tell you about a junior camp in Southern California where they spoofed at it and scoffed at it. At a Bible retreat of academy, kids, until one of the counselors went by a cabin on Friday night and heard these girls inside and knocked on the door, and they attacked him and almost killed him, except three other fellows came to rescue him. And suddenly they had to cast out devils. It's been quite a few years ago since then. Suddenly there was no problem believing in devils. None whatsoever. It will happen here. Or the spirit of prophecy in the Bible are wrong. It will happen here. But somehow we just don't believe it. But not until this fire from heaven comes is U.S. enabled to do these things and to deceive the world. Not until then. And so the rise to prominence, not of just immorality and all those things, the rise to prominence of satanic worship, of spiritualism, in all its varied forms, is saying the time is approaching when we shall see these wonders, even fire from heaven. That's the time. Is it any wonder that the Lord has warned us in Matthew 24, verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you? Did you know this is the first sign Christ gave his coming? And this is the one that's repeated the most often? When they asked, what shall be the sign that come in the world? He said, take heed that no man deceive you. And he repeated it and repeated it and repeated it and repeated it. But we hardly mention it as a sign of Christ's coming. We talk about wars and rumors of wars, all kinds of things. This is the one the Lord gave first, has prominence, and this one he repeated over and over again. Take heed that no man deceive you. The Adventist church will not prevent us from deception. It should help us greatly, but it'll not prevent this. The Lord said we need to watch and be ready. Now's the time. And I'd like to say that now's the time to get closer to the Lord than ever before. As the devil becomes more powerful, the Lord wants to pour out his spirit in a latter rain power and help us and bless us and make us strong and mighty to protect us. Are we really in earnest in the days in which we live? Or do we just kind of ease along, you know, drift along, unmindful that the things we once preached are actually coming to pass? Or don't we care? The Lord cared enough to write many things to warn us because he likes us so much. Doesn't he? He cared enough to come along and write a whole bunch of other books to warn us because he cares so much about us. He said, I want you ready. I don't want you deceived. I want you in my kingdom. I don't want you following the devil. I want you safe, not destroyed. Won't you listen? Won't you listen? And I believe in all these things, that while the devil's come down having great wrath because he has but a short time, that the Lord has come down with great power to bless, to protect, to guide, to open our eyes and our minds, to save us, and to use us to go out and save thousands of others. Soul winning today is a lot more than just salvation. Do you know that? Soul winning today is saving people from the devil's grasp. It's even saving our own children and our own spouses and our own neighbors. Soul winning is a vastly different thing today. For the devil goes about as a roaring lion. May God help us to listen, to watch, to be ready. He loves us very much, and that's why he tells us, stay awake, be alert. Thank you.